All right, welcome to Radio Naturopath. This is the call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. I'm Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician. I'm flying solo today. I'm solo because Ron is solar. Okay, if you'd like to participate in the conversation about natural medicine, you can email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. That's radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch ND. So why are the UConn women's basketball team so awesome? They're awesome because of how they play. They're awesome because it's exciting to watch them. It's awesome because we get so attached to them. And it's awesome because they're regular people. I mean, I was getting on the elevator to come into WHUS and I saw Olivia, Ms. Odota, sitting on a bench outside, and she was chatting with someone, and I saw that she was talking about the game in St. Louis, against St. Louis last night, which they won. And I ran up to her and said, I want to take a selfie. And she let me, and it was great. And I'm going to bring it home to Ron. He'll be so excited. So that's how they roll. They're really nice, and they're really good to the community, and they appreciate that we appreciate them, and there's appreciation all the way around. So go Huskies. Woohoo! All right. So let's talk about some good stuff. We've got some good natural medicine for you. If you email me, I'll be happy to answer your questions. I won't be able to take your phone calls today because, as I said, I'm flying solo. But we want to, you know that I love to talk about rest. So I'm going to do that again because I just want you all to slow down. This is a time of year where we are still losing minutes at either end of the day. But guess what? Something special is going to happen. Starting tomorrow, we're going to stop losing minutes at the end of the day. That's right. The sunset is going to bottom out. And it'll bottom out. I haven't looked at the exact time, but I think here, if you look at Hartford, it's going to be different depending how far east or west you are, what the exact time is. And I invite you to look that up. Look up, you know, just over the course of days, what time the sunset is. But the sunset is going to be the same now for the next week, from the 7th through the 14th. And then guess what's going to happen on the 15th? We're going to start gaining minutes at the end of the day. I didn't realize this, but that happens before the solstice. We are going to continue to lose minutes in the morning, which is how we wind up with the shortest day still being the solstice, December 21st, thereabouts. And sometimes the day before or after has the same number of minutes, and it is the shortest day of the year. And you only have one or two days that are that length. But even so, the sunset will get later starting on December 15th, not the 21st, the 15th. Unfortunately, we're going to continue to lose minutes in the morning, and that continues to happen right up until New Year's. So then you get that bottom out effect. The first week of the year, the sunrise bottoms out, so it's the latest that it will be. And around here, it's going to be somewhere around 20 after 7. Maybe 90 minutes after 7, something like that. And depending on how east or west you are, far east or west you are, it may differ. So it may differ slightly in Danbury versus Plainfield and versus Hartford. There might be a minute or two difference in either direction. You know, we got a 200 miles, about, you know, 150, 200 miles between say Plainfield and Danbury, you know, so there's a going from east to west. But it will bottom out. The sunrise will bottom out that first week of the year, and then you start gaining minutes in the morning as well. But by the time the new year comes, so like I said, the sunset, the latest or the earliest the sunset gets is about 4:19 right here in Mansfield Stores and, you know, Hartford. And then you start gaining minutes on December 15th. So it's 2 weeks until New Year's. So by New Year's, the sun is setting at like 4:36. So just something to cheer you up a little bit. Having said that, as you've heard me say often, we are diurnal creatures. What that means is we function more in the daylight. We function when there's light going on. You wouldn't know that from this, the very exciting spin class I took this morning. We head to the Mansfield Community Center and we're there for 5:45, and there were, I don't know, 12 people in the room. It was pretty incredible. Ron's doing a great job teaching those early AM spin classes, and people are there to work. They're not there to just, you know, get there, you know, check a box. They are there to push themselves, and we did this morning. My goodness. So anyway, Being diurnal creatures, we function better in the daylight. And so in places where there isn't a lot of daylight, sometimes we don't function so well. In places where they have limited daylight this time of year, there are higher rates of depression. And one of the highest rates of depression and even suicide is poor old Seattle. And, you know, Seattle, of course, is not in the country. I mean, now Seattle is not particularly cold. It's just dreary. You know, they get a lot of rain. The sun sets even earlier here. They have less daylight there than we do here. But now in the summer, they have wonderfully long days. The sun will set after 9 o'clock at night and rise, you know, five or before in the morning. It's pretty incredible. When I lived in Portland, you know, the sun would set at 9 o'clock. The sun would still be out at 9 o'clock. It was pretty amazing in the middle of the summer. It's very cool to see. But you pay for it with very short days. So Seattle apparently has a higher, you know, suicide rate than any town in Alaska. And I think the difference is the dreariness, that when, you know, during the day you're more likely to get sunshine in the various towns in Alaska. Although if you go to Juneau, Alaska, the weather is a little bit colder, but it's still got that same maritime climate that you get Portland, Seattle, Vancouver, BC, and then up on up to Juneau. It's sort of in a line like that. And so because we function better during the day, the lack of light makes us slow down. One of the things that I find that I have to do, if I'm at home and I'm trying to get errands done, I'm trying to get, you know, work done in the house, if it's dark in the house, I'm going to be less likely to want to do it. And I run around and I turn on all the lights. I mean, it's not wonderful for electricity, but it's better for my productivity. I do function better in the light. So I'm not one of those people who's a night owl. I like being active during the day. Sunshine cheers me up. I also think I'm one of those people that when it's dreary and the pressure has dropped, I'd get a little bit achier and more tired. So on a day like today where it's very bright and sunny, I'm going to be cheerier, even though it's quite cold. So what do you do this time of year? And one of the things that's nice to do is to get more rest if you can. And one of the things people complain about is, but it's so busy this time of year. And yes, it's true. And so if you can do your shopping and your partying and your preparing in spurts and then take some downtime, it's really good to do. You know, this time of year in terms of workouts, we do a little bit easier workouts. We don't push ourselves to go as far or as fast or as hard. You know, the time for winter training, it's better to do your winter training starting in January if you're going to do that kind of training, because in January, like I said, the days are getting longer. You actually are getting more sunlight. So you're more energized to get started with something. This time of year right now where we have, it's really dark and the days are getting shorter, this is a good time to do easier stuff. I'm not saying don't be physically active, but this is a good time of year to not have a goal. You know, people like professional bike racers, they don't, they usually take a month off a year where they don't even get on a bike and they do other things and they do whatever they feel like with no particular training goal, or their goal is basically rest. And this is a good time for that now. Just please yourself in terms of your fitness. Go for walks, go for long walks, go for a bike ride if you feel like it. Don't go fast. It's hard to go fast anyway. Take care of yourself, go to yoga class, do something different that you wouldn't usually do. It's really great to get outside in the cold. It's really good for you. So if you can bundle up and walk or go hiking in this kind of weather, it's good for you. If you don't feel like it because you're looking at going, it's just too cold, don't beat yourself up. It's okay. You heard me say it. It's okay. Find a way to be fit indoors. And also, it's really okay to take some time and take naps and read books and drink tea and just hang out. When you rest, one of the things that you do, of course, is you lower cortisol. One of the goals of rest is to, in part, to detox your brain, because we are so busy. We're doing so many things. We take care of people. We take care of all the things we do. We have incredible to-do lists. And so it's good for you to detox your brain. If you're out shopping and you're out being really busy, you have my permission to find the good cafe and get yourself a cup of coffee or tea and just sit and watch the people go by. If you're going to one of those, like I barely ever go to the mall. Once in a while, you'll catch me, you know, this is the time of year when I might show up at West Farms. I haven't yet. And I like to go there because for me, it's exotic because I'm here in stores in Mansfield. And, you know, to go out to West Farms is like, it's a trek. It's a treat for me. So I'll go there and I'll go to Lush and there's that David's Tea there. And, you know, it's if you can find a nice cafe in that mall, I invite you to get a cup of something hot and just sit and watch people go by and just relax and enjoy it. I mean, what fun is the holiday season if you don't enjoy yourself? I'm getting sort of relieved because my major shopping is mostly done. And if you're feeling, oh, she's almost done and I've hardly begun. Don't sweat it because I have a different goal because it's Hanukkah right now. And you know, and so we're having our big Hanukkah family party this weekend. So I have to be prepared earlier than you do if you're being prepared for Christmas time. So I'm actually, I'm not completely done and our big party is Saturday. So don't feel like, she's so responsible. It's not exactly like that. It's because my deadline is much earlier than somebody whose deadline is Christmas. So the thing is, it is hard, like we said, that there are certain things that are non-negotiable. If you're in school or you're working or if you're somebody's mother or father, you don't have as much time. It's almost like it becomes impossible. So how do you do it? It's like I said, take moments in your life. So if you're at the mall, find the cafe. If you're at the office and you can take a few minutes to just close your eyes, you can get apps that have nice music on them. You can even find Spotify and use Spotify or one of your music services and find relaxing music on it. There are specific apps for relaxation that you can find. When you're going, you don't get to regenerate as much. You're going to do a lot better if you take some time and relax. So if you, for working out, like I said, you take rest days, you take easy weeks. Because one of the things that can happen to you is stress can make you gain weight, and it makes you gain weight because of cortisol. Cortisol is that fight or flight hormone that's job is to get you to do stuff. And one of the things that it does is it puts sugar into your blood, and it puts sugar into your blood because it thinks that you're running away from a bear or running away from whatever deadline or whatever it is that's going on with you. So when you're in overdrive all the time, you're going to be sitting in high cortisol all the time. And the thing about cortisol is cortisol eats up tissue. It causes inflammation. It's damaging to your body. Your body will see that you are now damaged and it will create inflammation to try to repair you. And then you'll be in the state of chronic inflammation. If you're in fight or flight all the time, also, you're not in rest and digest. So your digestion doesn't do as well when you're stressed all the time. So relaxing, helps you with your nutrition. When cortisol and adrenaline dominate, they can affect your mood. They can cause you to gain weight. Also, you can have estrogen dominance, and you can have estrogen dominance whether you're a man or a woman. That doesn't matter, either one. Because the way you get estrogen dominance is because any progesterone that you make, whether you're male or female, any progesterone you make has a very easy two-step process to make cortisol. So estrogen gets produced anyway in men and women. And if you're estrogen dominant, when you have more estrogen than progesterone, or you have too much estrogen relative to progesterone, you tend to be cranky, you tend to be bloated, you tend to gain weight, you have blood sugar regulation issues, and it just doesn't work. And then if you're a woman, then it's going to affect, well, actually, it doesn't matter. It can affect your fertility either way if fertility is important to you. And then you can get symptoms from high estrogen. And again, you can get symptoms from high estrogen, whether you're male or female. And so women, you're going to get more PMS, you're going to get sore breasts, you could be on the road to getting high estrogen problems like uterine fibroids. If you're genetically predisposed to it, you can get more uterine fibroids, you can have menstrual irregularities. And so stress all by itself can aggravate these problems. So the other thing you have to be careful of is if you're very stressed, you might be adding in a stressful workout, which is really tough. That's why if the only workouts you're doing to reduce your stress are ones where you push yourself really hard, that's not going to really work for you because you're putting yourself into higher cortisol. So it's better to do interval training where you push yourself and rest and push yourself and rest, but also do low intensity activities. So we're talking leisure walks in nature where you go in nature. So it's, first of all, it's the leisure walk when you are, when you're not pushing yourself as hard, you're not going to have as high cortisol. And when you're, and when you're out in nature, you're getting your negative ions. Negative ions are stuff that comes off of natural substances or natural organisms as they metabolize, and they help to neutralize your the positive ions that are made by inflammatory compounds. I need to remind you, unfortunately, I'm unable to answer the phone because I'm flying solo today. So thank you for your calls. And we invite you to call next week when Ron is back. If you would like to have a question answered today, do email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. And I'll check the email periodically so I can get your questions answered. Once again, the email here is radionaturopath@gmail.com. We have a lot of emphasis in our society on doing stuff, getting stuff done. We think we're human doings and not human beings. And we don't realize that when we take rest, we're more efficient after we take the rest. It's a very nice thing to do. And also, like I said, when you're doing your workouts, you don't want to make every single workout a really hard workout. And don't think if you can't get a hard workout, you shouldn't do anything at all. That doesn't work either. So getting those leisurely walks in nature or doing that gentle yoga class or doing, gentle stretching, these are all really important. And they can all lower your cortisol. Putting rest in different places during your day, that's really important as well, whether it's just taking a few minutes to close your eyes or taking a few minutes at your desk to look at some, maybe you want to look at some nice art or listen to some nice music or just close your eyes. These are all really important, and you'd be surprised what the physiological benefits are with that. So here's some restorative activities. You can drink some kind of your favorite kind of tea. Maybe you like chai, or maybe you like a nervine tea like chamomile or linden or passion flower. And you can pair that with reading for pleasure. You can take a bath and put lavender oil in it, or a favorite essential oil that you find calming. Lavender is a great one, and many people are fond of lavender. But not everybody is. And if you have another essential oil that you find calming, you can try that as well. I am a big fan of ylang ylang. It's a little exotic. It's flowery smelling, but I love it. You might too. I don't know. It's spelled interestingly, ylang, Y-L-A-N-G, twice. I guess it's a Chinese thing. I love it. It's wonderful. But again, it's acquired taste. It's not something that we're used to smelling in Western society. Citrus smells and minty smells smell lovely. I find them too stimulating. That's why generally flowery things, the subtle flowery scents tend to be more calming than minty scents and citrus scents. But I invite you to try whatever you like. So you can try ylang ylang, you can try lavender, you can try rose. That's another good one that can be very soothing and calming. I love rose. I love anything to do with roses, rose oil, rose hips, rose flowers. They're all super wonderful. exercises that are on the yin side, that are sort of restorative and calming. So if you do yoga, we're not talking about doing a power yoga class. Do a yoga class that's a gentle class. And there are classes called yin yoga. And you can also do yoga nidra, which is mostly breathing and meditation. You can do tai chi. But again, when you say do tai chi and you say that it's calming, tai chi isn't always calming. There are forms of tai chi and ways of doing tai chi that are intense. So you're talking about doing something like the yang form and doing it in a meditative way. Any kind of stretching that you like to do is really great. If you don't want to have a specific practice that's associated with a standard spiritual practice, you can just breathe. Just do breathing exercises. You know, maybe breathe 20 times per night before you go to bed. You can do some kind of meditation. What kind of meditation? The one that works for you. Very, very basic meditation is just sitting and relaxing and breathing and paying attention to your breath. And because you're a human being, thoughts are going to come into your brain. So when you see the thoughts come in, you look at them and you go, think, you label them as thinking and let them go and go back to the breath. When you're meditating, it's not a time to solve problems. It's not a time to, get your to-do list sorted out. It's a time to let go of all that and just be and just enjoy yourself. One of the cool things I like about the holiday season, so, you know, I'm Jewish, as you probably know, and it's Hanukkah right now, and we like to light our candles. And the thing is, you know, I'm definitely Jewish, which means I don't directly celebrate Christmas. I will celebrate Christmas with friends and family who are not Jewish, but, you know, I don't have a personal celebration of Christmas. Having said that, I enjoy this time of year because I love seeing all the colors and the lights and the Christmas trees and people decorating their houses. And I think all of that stuff is really beautiful. And sometimes it's really fun to just go somewhere where there's a lot of lights and go for a walk and see the pretty lights and see the pretty things that are going on. When I was a kid, even though we were moderately observant Jews, my mother would usually take me to see the Nutcracker, and that was a really fun thing to do, and that was a lovely thing to do. If you can go see some of the holiday things that are going on, like go see a production of the Nutcracker. We used to go to the Princeton Ballet Society production because, you know, it was not too far from us, and it was at MacArthur Theater, and it was so awesome, and my friend Swati was often in it, and that was really cool. Shout out to Swati. And we would also, in later years, I've gone to Messiah Sings, and those are fun. Again, if you're not Christian and you have an issue with singing, you know, things that are directly to do with Jesus, you might not enjoy that. I appreciate the Messiah for the beauty of the music. And, my choir teacher back in high school, Mr. Cardia, he taught us excerpts from the Messiah. And I'm grateful to him for that because I did learn those pieces. And I think, you know, the Messiah is an icon in classical voice and in classical music. So I have a familiarity. I know, for unto us a child is born. I know, hallelujah. And, you know, you probably do too. But there's a few pieces from that. And going to a Messiah sing, you get a book. They give you a book, or you have one already, and you have a choir in front of you and somebody conducting an orchestra, and everybody gets to sing. You get to sing along. So those are a fun thing to do. Other things to do: get enough sleep. Don't just sleep 5 hours. Sleep the amount of sleep. I say to Ron, guess when I'm getting up tomorrow? And he'll say, what? And I'll be like, I'm getting up when I am no longer tired. So getting enough sleep is a really good thing to do. Getting acupuncture, getting me some needles. Yay, my girl Nicole. Woohoo. But there are many wonderful acupuncturists out there. And getting acupuncture, I have to tell you, I have a very good, not everybody has a great experience of acupuncture. I'm not sure why, because I do. And acupuncture, when I lie on the table and I have my needles in, I go somewhere. It's so wonderful. And I feel so good after my treatment. Nicole puts the needles in and I lie there and I relax, and it's fantastic. And you know, I get to zone out, and, you know, she tonifies my stress points. I tell her I'm stressed. So she gives me some points for stress and I chill out. Also, if you're going to watch TV, don't just mindlessly watch TV. Watch shows you really enjoy. So, and right now there's a lot of good TV. And so, you know, binge watching can totally be a thing. And, you know, so I try to, because you can watch TV basically on demand now, whether you have cable or whether you have a service, you know, you have Sling TV or you have, you know, Netflix or something like that, you can watch TV like you're reading a book. So that you can stop it and start it. You can put it down. You know, I always forget that. It's like, well, I'm not going to put The Good Doctor on because I can't watch the whole thing. Well, why? I can watch half of it and come back to it later. It, you know, it holds its place. It bookmarks for you. You know, so if you go on to some service and you watch half the show, it'll go back and it'll remember where you left off and you can keep watching it. And then you're not wasting time just mindlessly watching TV. You're watching something you actually care about and that you're interested in, you know, depending on what the show is. And also, when you feel too tired and overwhelmed, you don't have to go to the party. You don't have to go out. You don't have to go hang out with a friend if you really don't feel like it. On the other hand, sometimes that's a nice thing to do, hang out with a friend or go to the social gathering. Sometimes you don't feel like going out, and maybe the friend could come to your house and you make tea there and you do like chill out things, like invite your friend over to just lay around, you know, watch a movie, drink tea, drink coffee, you know, talk about mellow stuff, spray essential oil, you know, do stretching with your friend. That way you get to hang out with your friend, which can be really nice, and you get to relax as well. So I just want to remind you that this is a really good thing to do. So exercise, in terms of exercise, you don't have to exercise so much as it, you know, and I should listen to this advice, but I did break down my exercise. I don't go as long. I've rode fewer miles on my bicycle this year than I have in many, many years. And part of it was an injury, but, you know, in general, I didn't do any century rides this year, not one 100 mile ride. And so exercising excessively, can make you age. If you're doing too much high intensity exercise or too much long cardio, that ages you because it puts you into chronic elevated cortisol. And like I told you, cortisol breaks down tissue. Cortisol's job is to find tissue, break it down, or break down any substance it can find, and make it so that you can you have energy so that you can run away from whatever you need to run away from, so that you have energy to push yourself. That's what it's for. It breaks down tissue in order to do that. And if you do that all the time and you spend too much time in it, you can't regenerate, and you know, you have tissue breakdown. So people who work out way too much, they age faster. You'll see they have wrinkles. They don't have as healthful muscle. And that's a sign of doing too much exercise and not enough rest. So doing more low intensity exercise or doing intervals where you push till you can, rest till you can't. That's a really good thing. So I just wanted to remind you of the importance of slowing down. And this is a time of year when it's good to slow down. Your body wants you to slow down, so it's okay to do. And especially this holiday season, you know, that take the time to actually enjoy some of the things that are going on at the holiday season. Don't feel like you have to go, attend every party, or shop everywhere every single day. Just make sure you take time to, like, sit down with a cup of eggnog and drink it. Sit down with a cup of hot cocoa. The cup of something hot, there is something really, really soothing about drinking something hot. I went out last night because I had to sign up for some classes at the community center, and then I went to the cafe and I got a hot drink, and it was so comforting just to have that warmth going in. This time of year, hot drinks and also hot soup. Oh yeah, these are good things to warm you. Soup is really good for you. There's so many things you can, there's so many soups that you can make that can be nutritious, and it's just a really good way to get nutrition in. All right. So what's the next topic I wanted to talk about? I wanted to talk about potatoes. So why potatoes? Are they healthy for you? People question it because so many people want to eat keto. And it's probably about time to talk about whether you should eat keto or not, because keto, people are like, oh yes, I'm eating keto. It's like a fad now. And I don't mean to disparage anybody who's doing keto eating, but I would like to do some unpacking of that. Maybe next week would be a good time to do that. But today let's talk about potatoes, because potatoes, you know, it's Hanukkah. We eat potato latkes. By the way, why do we eat potato latkes? So the point of eating potato latkes, the point of eating potatoes is because we were in Eastern Europe and they ate a lot of potatoes there. The point of eating latkes is the oil, right? The whole story about the oil, when the Assyrians destroyed the temple, when they went to rebuild the temple, they found there was only enough oil to light the menorah for one night, or the candelabra for one night. And so it took 8 days and nights to go out to the part of the country where the olives were, so they could make olive oil and bring it back. And they only had enough oil for one night. So when they went out and came back, hoo-ha, the oil was still burning. So you celebrate oil. And if you're an Ashkenazic Jew like I am, your roots are in Eastern Europe, you're going to do stuff with potatoes. And if you want to do nouveau latkes, I saw some food show stuff. You can do things to your latkes. You can make your latkes out of sweet potatoes. You can add parsnip to your latkes and make them a little sweet. There are different kinds of sweet potatoes. There are white sweet potatoes that are a little nuttier. There are yams that are a lot sweeter and more orange. So you can do them separately, or you can do a mixture. We had a white sweet potato with our white potatoes, and so we had a slightly sweet version of latkes the other night, and it was very delicious. You can also flavor your latkes. If you want to make them sweet, you could. I mean, I don't know if people do this, but, you know, if you wanted to add cocoa powder and berries to your latkes, that's a way to go. You do, you know, do it with the probably either sweet potatoes or white potatoes. That would be a neat way to go, and then you could put jam on them. It's not conventional, but it's a neat take on it. The other thing you could do is add other interesting flavors. Some people put onions in their latkes, and onions are pretty classic to put some onion in your latke. The other thing is you could make them Cajun. You could put Cajun seasoning in your latke and make them spicy. That seems like a strange marriage of cultures, like when I eat quinoa with my sag paneer. But, you know, hey, we're in the U.S. You can do stuff like that. You can do neat sauces on your latkes. You can do like a saltimbocca sauce, which is going to be a salty sauce that has a lot of garlic in it and other seasonings in it. You could do a miso sauce on your latkes. That would be another way to go. So there's all kinds of really cool things you can do to your latkes to make them interesting. But potatoes, there's a sort of a fear of potatoes because potatoes are higher in carbs, and people overall, when they're trying to lose weight, they try to lower their carbs. And the ultimate lowering of the carbs is everybody eating keto. And really, the eating of the keto was mostly made popular by Atkins back in the 70s. But anyway, not everybody necessarily needs to eat keto. And so some people are going to eat potatoes. So the thing is that potatoes they've stirred up controversy because of the starch content. So people think you have to limit them. And they're also associated with being fried and processed. They're eaten all over the world. They are a nightshade, and they come from the Andes, so in South America. So what's interesting about that is, you know, that maca, some people are into consuming maca. Maca is also a nightshade that comes from the Andes, and people take maca powder. And maca is what we call an adaptogen. It's something that it's a plant that can help you to feel have more energy, help your sex drive, all the things that adaptogens do. They help you to adapt to your environment. And they also originate in the Andes. So it's interesting. So these nice tubers came from the Andes. And there, I didn't know this, there's close to 2,000 varieties ranging in size, color, and nutrient content. Who knew? And they have a starchy flesh covered by the thin skin, and the skin is high in nutrients. So this would be a reason to get your potatoes organic, or from a source where you know that they have not been sprayed with anything. And also, if you eat little potatoes, you're going to eat more skin. If you eat the skin, which is good for you, you're going to get more skin. And it's kind of like when you eat tiny wild blueberries as opposed to the high bush European blueberries, you're going to get more antioxidants because you're eating more skin, and not because they're, you know, the high bush blueberries are in general less nutritious. It's only because when you eat a quarter cup of high bush blueberries, there's less skin in them than there is if you ate a lot of tiny blueberries, because you could fit three or four tiny blueberries into one big blueberry, and they're covered in more skin. Well, likewise, if you want to have a feed of potatoes, and maybe you want to eat, say your serving is a quarter of a cup. If you eat a quarter of a cup of prepared tiny potatoes, you're going to eat more skin, and you're going to get more antioxidants and more nutrients from that skin. So eat the skin, unless it's not organic. All right. So there's a lot of nutrition in potatoes. A medium potato has 168 calories, which isn't terrible. And there's no fat in it, which is not neither here nor there. There's a little bit of protein in potatoes. Who knew? So a medium potato has 5 grams of protein. It's not a huge amount of protein for a food in general, but it's not nothing. There's a lot of carbs in a potato. A whole medium potato, you're looking at 37 grams of carbs and only 4 grams of fiber. There's only a little bit of sodium. There's a little bit of vitamin C, B6, potassium, and magnesium. And nutrients vary based on the type of potatoes. So red potatoes have less calories and carbs than russet potatoes. And red potatoes have more vitamin K and niacin. So that's interesting. And of course, how you prepare them can vary the nutrient content. When you take off the peel, there's less nutrition. When potatoes have been processed, of course, you're going to get rid of some of the nutrient content. So if you bake or boil potatoes, you're going to get more nutrition from them. They have antioxidants in them, so they're going to prevent, they can prevent certain illnesses. They can actually prevent. So here we are, we're worried about how many carbs are in the potatoes, and yet they can help to treat cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and cancer if you prepare them right. So if you bake them or you boil them, and you don't deep fry them. So the deep frying, it's not so much about the frying. It's about the fact that you're putting them in an oil which can potentially break down. Now, if you saute them lightly in coconut oil, that's going to be different than if you deep fry them in vegetable oil, if you get them deep fried in vegetable oil. It's because vegetable oil is going to be cottonseed, soybean, or corn oil. And if it's heated at high temperatures, you're going to get some breakdown of that oil, and now you're into free radical damage and trans fats. So that's the issue. It's not so much the potatoes itself. It's that they're sitting in this oil that's not good for you. On the other hand, the potatoes do have nice antioxidants in them. They have flavonoids, they have carotenoids, and they have phenolics in them. If potatoes are colored, they're going to have more antioxidants in them. So if you can get your hands on some purple potatoes, they're purple all the way through, you're going to get more, surprise, surprise. You're going to get more bioflavonoids and more things to protect you against free radicals. How nice is that? And there's actually antioxidants in potatoes that can prevent cancer. So very nice. And just like a lot of things, things that have darker colors have the anthocyanins in them. They have flavonoids in it that are antioxidants. You're worried about the starch in them, but they do have resistant starch in them. So this is the interesting thing. There may be an element in the potato of a calorie is not a calorie is not a calorie. Remember that when you are talking about a food and how many calories are in that food, you're talking about the amount of calories, amount of energy it takes to burn that food to ash. It doesn't necessarily talk about how it functions in your body. So anytime you look at that, if you look at sugar, if you look at apples, if you look at meat, that they all have a calorie content associated with them. That calorie content is based on the amount of energy it takes to burn that amount of food to ash. It doesn't assess how it's going to behave in your body. So even though, you know, so the food that's going to most closely, you're going to be using all the calories as calories is going to be sugar. So when you consume just pure sugar, that you're going to be using all the calories, and you can consider, okay, I'm going to have this teaspoon of sugar. This teaspoon of sugar is 15 calories. You're going to be taking in all that, that's going to all be absorbed, and it's either going to be used by you for energy or it's going to be stored as fat. Whereas when you take almost anything else, any other natural food, it's going to have things in it that will mitigate some of the caloric content. And the thing that potatoes have is resistant starch. So a lot of starchy foods have resistant starch in them. So potatoes aren't the only one. Pasta has resistant starch in it too. And a lot of these things that are starchy foods, if you refrigerate them, the resistant starch becomes more resistant. So what that means, resistant starch means it's going to go through you. It's just going to, you're not going to absorb all of it. So your 168 calories may be effectively lowered. And resistant starch has health benefits. It helps you with blood sugar control and insulin sensitivity, which is why they're saying potatoes can help you if you have diabetes. So that's very interesting because it can regulate your blood sugar. And there was a study where 10 participants consumed 30 grams of resistant starch a day for 4 weeks and found that it increased their insulin sensitivity by 33%. So that's really good. So you're going to find resistant starch in tubers in general, not just in potatoes, but also in sweet potatoes and yams and winter squash and parsnips and other, starchy tubers. And they had another group of people supplement with 50 grams of raw potato starch who experienced reduced blood sugar levels and increased satiety and fullness. Raw potatoes have resistant starch, but people usually cook them, which kills bacteria and degrades anti-nutrients. So there are some anti-nutrients in potatoes, which presumably phytates, which are going to interfere with absorption of your nutrients. So when you cook them, you inactivate some of the anti-nutrients, which is great. And so when you take your resistant starch, you're going to be less hungry, improve your digestive health, and you can go longer without eating. So, and along with the resistant starch, they can help you with satiety. They make you feel full. And people say that. I remember when I lived in Newfoundland, they ate a lot of potatoes up there. People said they didn't feel full unless they ate their potatoes. And there is some truth to that. It's just that you can't, in Newfoundland, the other thing I observed is that you'd have an enormous pot, a tureen, if you will, and they would put, 40 little potatoes in there and eat most of them. And that doesn't work so well because then you are getting into a calorie situation. But boiled potatoes make you feel satiated. Ron and I do find that pasta also affects our satiation. And when we eat pasta, we find sometimes we don't want to finish our salad because of the resistant starch. And when we eat pasta, we eat high fiber pasta. So Ron will tend to eat the rice pasta, and we get the rice pasta that has brown rice fiber in it, as rice bran in it. And then I might eat that. I also might eat einkorn, and einkorn pasta has a lot of fiber in it as well. And it's very satisfying. And so we have to have just a little pasta or we can't eat our salad, or we have to have smaller salads, one of the two. So it does make you feel fuller, and you're less likely to eat. You're less likely to eat too much. However, certain types of potatoes might contribute to weight gain. So which types? Potatoes and processed potato chips. There was a study that found that potatoes and processed potato chips were the two biggest contributors to weight gain. So, of course, potato chips are going to make you gain weight. So one of the things that makes you gain weight that turns off your satiety signals are the combination of carbohydrate and fat. So if you eat fried potatoes of any kind, whether it's French fries or potato chips, you know how you can't eat just one? Well, your body, when it sees the carbs and the fat together, your satiety signals just turn off. The other thing that makes you, so another thing that has a lot of sugar and fat in it is ice cream. That's why people can finish this whole amazingly caloric pint of ice cream. A pint of ice cream could have have 1,000 calories in it or 600 or something ridiculous, right? And people can eat a whole pint because the combination of the sugar and fat turns off your satiety. You don't feel full, so you just keep eating it. Well, processed potatoes got that same thing going on. You know what else has that going on? Is pizza. That's why you can eat a whole pizza. I couldn't eat a whole pizza, but a lot of people can. They can eat many slices of pizza and just keep going because of that combination of fat and starch. It just turns off your satiety signal, so you just keep eating. And it says that certain types of potatoes, what I'm not finding is the exact type of, maybe it's just potato, processed potatoes, obviously. I don't know if that's a type. I'm looking at types of potatoes, and what I'm looking for here is it russet versus the red ones versus the, no, it's talking about how they're prepared. So if you eat potatoes that have been deep fried or cooked in a lot of oil, you're more likely to overeat them. Of course, they can have free radical damage, and you're going to kind of mange on them. You're going to eat one after the other, after the other, after the other. Guess what? That can cause weight gain. If you eat too much, it could cause weight gain. Why? Because fat loss happens in an environment of hormonal balance and caloric deficit. That's how fat loss happens. Hey, potatoes have glycoalkaloids, and they are the compound that's in nightshades that people worried about. Other names for them are solanine, because the family of potatoes, the nightshade family, is the solanaceae, also called chaconine. So green potatoes are especially high in these glycoalkaloids. When they're exposed to light, they make chlorophyll, which turns them green. And so when they're green, it doesn't mean they're spoiled. But when potatoes are exposed to light, they can make more glycoalkaloids. That's why they say if you have green potatoes, it's not good for you to eat them. If you eat too many of them, they can upset your digestive health and cause inflammation in your digestive system. They can also make you sleepy, itchy, sensitive. So if your potatoes are excessively green, it's not a good idea to eat them. Also, if you overeat potatoes, you might get into a glycoalkaloid situation. Some people don't feel well when they eat potatoes. That's why you shouldn't eat too much. It's like Michael Pollan said, eat food, not too much, mostly plants. So commercial potatoes like wedges and slices and peels don't have enough of the solanine to cause a problem. So the glycoalkaloids, if you store potatoes at lower temperatures and away from light, they can lower your glycoalkaloid formation. That's why people have root cellars. So the potatoes are going to be healthier for you if you store them in the cool. So either in your fridge, of course, you don't want them to get damp in the fridge. But if you have a root cellar, that's the best thing. But if you don't, you just want to store them somewhere where they're going to be cooler. So if you eat them in moderation, they're really good for you. I don't want to say they're good for everyone, because if you're a person who tends to overeat them, or you're a person who really does well on a ketogenic diet, you might not want to do the potatoes. But if you can lose weight by eating potatoes, you can, and you're not somebody who has to do a ketogenic diet, and you can, you know, eat moderate amounts of starch, they can be helpful because of the resistant starch, and because of the nutrients that are in them, and because of the nutrients that are in the skins and peels, they can be really good for you. So don't deep fry them. If you want to saute them in a little bit of coconut oil, that's probably a better method. Or if you want to oven roast them, so you put them in the oven and you just drizzle a little bit of olive oil or coconut oil on them, that's going to be better for you than deep frying them. And then you have a little bit of healthy oil. It's not overheated, and you're going to get a minimum of trans fats. So you bake them, you boil them, you steam them, and you don't deep fry them with a ton of oil. And then use nice whole potatoes, and don't get processed stuff. Because the processed stuff, if you buy a bag of French fries, you know, frozen French fries at the supermarket, you'll find, if you look at those frozen French fries, they're going to have They're going to have a lot of, they're going to be fried often in some kind of a vegetable oil. And vegetable oil, like I said, is usually either corn oil, cottonseed oil, or soybean oil. Not necessarily organic, could be GMO. And if they're deep fried, there's polyunsaturated fats, which can be broken down. And so there can be more free radical liability. And you'll find that in general, if you buy just, you know, ordinary potatoes, and they also might not be organic, you might fare better if you were to buy an organic version of potatoes, and they might, depending on the oil that they're fried in, you have to take a look at that. So the best thing to do is buy an actual potato and cut it up and roast it and drizzle some oil on it. And then you can put seasonings on it and you can make it really nice. And, you know, doing healthy toppings for your potatoes. So potatoes don't have to be something you have to be afraid of. And having said that, not everybody's going to be able to eat them. Some people need to be lower carb than that. And yet, again, if you're a person who can't do a ketogenic diet, or the ketogenic diets don't work for you, and you can eat them in moderation, they actually can be helpful. So there you go. It's the story of today was the story of potatoes. What can I say? All right, let me just check the email to see if anybody asked me a question, and I don't see any new questions. Okay, so let's go back to talking about stuff. So I don't have a lot of time left. So let's see. I like to give you some tips. One of the things that goes on right now is you get offered a lot of sweets this time of year, so you want to be careful with the sweets. I was delighted to find that there is a local person who is selling keto-friendly desserts, and they're sweetened with erythritol, stevia, and yacone syrup. So yacone syrup is something very interesting. Guess what? Yacone is another one of those tubers. And yacone is an interesting tuber. And yacone is not a solanaceae. It's another tuber, but it's a daisy. So it's like Jerusalem artichokes. It's, in fact, if you look at a yacone, it looks a little bit similar to Jerusalem artichoke. And yacone has a lot of inulin in it. You can make a syrup out of it, or you can get a syrup that's made out of it. And because it has so much inulin, it's good for your digestive health. So it's going to help you to make good quality probiotic in your digestive system. You can get yacone powder. You can also get the syrup. The yacone syrup, to me, it tastes like a light molasses. It definitely has a very molasses-y taste. I'm taking it in spoonfuls now, and you can do that. There have been some studies where people have consumed yacone syrup, and it's helped with fat loss, and presumably because of the blood sugar stabilization of the inulin that it contains. And it is somewhat sweet. I wouldn't say that it's super sweet, because stuff that has a lot of inulin isn't as sweet. So your coconut sugar, for example, has a lot of inulin in it, not as sweet as your evaporated cane juice or your regular sugar. But it is pretty cool. You can try using it in your coffee or tea and in baking. And if you can sweeten stuff with yacone syrup exclusively, or, you know, you can add some sugar alcohol to them if you tolerate sugar alcohol. So you can, if you do that, then, you know, you're going to lower your glycemic load, and you can enjoy some of the things that you might have enjoyed that with actual sugar in it. So the local person who's making, these lovely desserts, you know, she's making them with chocolate, and she's making them in pumpkin, and she's making cheesecake flavors, and she's sweetening them with yacone and, erythritol and with stevia, and they're delicious. They're really exciting. So that would be one thing to do some alternative sweeteners in your desserts, or use fruit and don't use sweetener at all. That's one option. And the other thing is, again, just to enjoy things in moderation. And remember that one trick where if you eat your vegetables and your protein first, and you have your higher carb things at the end of the meal, they don't raise your insulin as much and don't raise your blood sugar as much. So you might have more blood sugar regulation, less hunger, and you might gain less weight. And the other thing is, this time of year, during the holiday season, people worry about gaining weight, so make sure you're getting some kind of exercise. All right, that's enough for this week. So I'm going to go, and we're going to put up radio. We're going to put up Bicycle Talk next. You have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician. My co-host, Ron Meniza, will be back next week. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcasts at whus.org. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram, at Fran Storch, ND. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM. WHUS Storch.